Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, Don Patterson.
Hey, Thomas, it's been a while. I'm kind of getting back in the groove.
Good to have you with us, buddy. Don Shaw's here, folks.
Well, break is over, isn't it?
My name's Tom Houston, but here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman, Dr. Phil Parr, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's the crowd.
I was given
about 18,000 people there today. One guy fell out of the stands. Sorry to hear that. Yeah. Hello there. Man, it's been forever. It seems like forever since we've done one of these silly little Blind Handyman shows. And they haven't been running us. And I thought they were going to run archive shows on break. I mean, while we were...
it just didn't happen.
What are they running? I haven't tuned in.
Just didn't happen. This and that, one thing and another.
You mean there may not be a slot for us? Is that what
I don't know. I just, you know,
opening.
What did Jonathan said? The best thing that happened to ACB Radio in the year 2002 was the Blind Handyman Show.
That was 2002. In that case,
we ought to be able to get any time slot we want, Jonathan.
Maybe though, it's kind of like they say about a boat. The happiest 2 days are when you get it and then when you get rid of it. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
You say a boat or a wife. You do need a haircut, though.
That's it.
It's taken care of.
Let's clean Heineken's. I guess we could do a twin Heineken.
Yeah. Meeting
here. Hello there. Yeah. Welcome to Blind Handyman today. We're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today. We got lots of email.
Got lots of email for show number 22, by the way.
Oh, it is show number 22. Tons of email. And at long last, friends, we've solved a problem. Actually, someone solved it for us. And we're going to tell you about that in just a few minutes. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're going to read a lot of email. We have Dave McElroy. I never can remember his last name. Dave was on the boat. On the ship with us, and you hear him. I ask him, how did they do a blind line without you, Dave? And come to find out he had called, but he was too late. Spent $10 to call, talk on the blind line, but he was too late. Dave is quite a guy. I never could decide if Dave was a Democrat or a Republican. He was amazed that we were Democrats. Luann and I are the only two Democrats left in Texas. That's them are gone. Anyway, Dave's going to be on the show in the second half, and we got lots of email, Tommy. Huh?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We do indeed. Here's one from Jim East. He says, hi, my name is Jim East. I live and work in San Augustine, Florida. Some of you may know that San Augustine is where the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind is located. Yeah. I'm blind, and I work for the Florida Division of Blind Services. I want to respond to a couple of statements. First, I was mainstreamed. Would any of you have rathered to be mainstreamed if it was available when you went to school?
Well, it was, and Patterson was mainstreamed.
Oh, is that right?
Weren't you, Don?
My high school, I graduated from public school.
Yeah.
And if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do it. I would have stayed at TSB.
Woo-hoo. With Miss Young? You would have stayed up there with Abby Young?
Is that right?
Yeah. There were a lot of advantages. Of course, I was 14 years old, and I wanted to stay home with my parents that I didn't...
Get ice cream in the winter when you wanted.
Smaller class sizes, the possibility of a scholarship. They had several scholarships there that weren't available to me in public school. They had a great music department.
You mean the blind school had scholarships?
Yeah.
I guess I never got far enough to know.
Well, not in the eighth grade.
That's if you're in eighth grade three times like I was. Anyway, go ahead, Tommy. I'm sorry.
Or are you happy with the education and the experiences you received at your school for the blind? I did my master's research project on this, and I may someday ask your help if I decide to do a dissertation. Secondly, as a state employee, I do not make as much as Ted Hinter either. And I agree with the sentiment that if the vendors expect agencies to support the access technology market, then those of us with closed cases will not have access to it.
Yep.
I know that a lot of time went into developing the products we use, but why should we have to pay two or three times more than the sighted consumer for an accessible product? Lastly, regarding the GPS system at the University of Florida, I was a UF student when this project got started, and I was asked to try it out back then, but I was told that if I wanted to try it, I would have to walk outside on the campus without the assistance of my guide dog or my cane. I believe that this type of system is a useful navigation device, but I don't think that it can replace the cane or the dog guide. I'm not going to bust my blank so that some scientist can see if his product works. Today, based on your report, it seems that those managing the project are a lot more sensible than the associate professor who approached me to try it about 5 to 7 years ago. I visit UF frequently, as I received my bachelor's and master's degrees there. Go Gators! I wish them well in the developments in this project. Oh, by the way, I found UF to be a very accessible campus, and the accommodations were excellent for me as a student who is blind. Jim East, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Jim, you see, Jim, it would be kind of hard to test this system if you had your cane or your guide dog, you see. It would be, well, be kind of pointless, wouldn't it?
You know? And, of course, they're making giant strides in GPS systems. They're getting them smaller.
Yeah.
And they get them to where they can actually come within a few feet. They're so accurate. And so when they get that down to a little micro size where you can, you know, wear it on your belt and maybe not be...
Which they're almost two now. Yeah. They've almost got that now.
And,
And
obviously, you know, for the GPS to work, you've got to have some sort of relay stations to tell you. And that's another thing. I think that, you know, GPS in conjunction with, like, FM radio or something like that's going to be...
Well, they're going to have navigation systems in new they're retrofitting buildings. They're going to have in buildings where you can go in and push a button. It'll tell you all there is to know about that building, I think, also.
The talking sign.
The talking signs. And it's technology is developing. I don't know. Being blind is what you make of it, whether you're mainstreamed or whether you're not. I don't really want to get too political. I mean, we're nail drivers. We don't know much.
Well, and I was glad to hear him talk about the University of Florida being very accessible. I mean, because I work in the education field here, and in Texas, we have several colleges and universities that are really accessible, and then we have some that are not. And so A&M and Sam Houston State and SFA are three examples of where the accessibility is great. But there are some...
I don't care what they do or how many GPS systems they come up with or what they come up with. Being blind is a tough thing. And if you are, you've got to, you know, it's tough, and it's not going to get any easier.
Yeah, and even with your dog and cane, it's possible to bust your blind.
I walked all over Austin, Texas, and fell several times. And of course, now I fall when I'm just kind of walking around, getting old. But anyway, thanks, Jim. We appreciate it.
Hello, handyman and crew. Enjoy your show. I have a question about natural gas lines.
Ooh.
I suspect that perhaps when my mobile home was set up, some debris was left in the gas lines feeding gas to my hot water heater and my kitchen stove. Since I first moved in, the oven and hot water heater periodically seemed to fail. I mean, they worked reasonably well for weeks, and sometimes they failed to reach temperature.
That doesn't make any sense.
And a clothes dryer, which is also gas-powered, seems to work fine. I suspect debris in some of the gas lines because this home was set up hastily and not by the most qualified people. Any suggestions on how we might check for debris and remove it? I was thinking about, one, calling the gas company and having them check the system. Two, do it myself by turning off the main gas valve at the meter, disconnecting my stove line, and vacuuming it out with my shop vac. Any suggestions, welcome. And this is Doug Rose from McKinleyville, California.
I'd blow air through it. I'd take each line out and just, if he's got a shop vac, obviously he has a shop vac, but if you don't have an air compressor, I'd just put my mouth on it and blow it. I'd just blow it out, you know, because, but I don't think debris is the problem. Do you, Shaw?
Not really, no.
Because it's working on some, I'd say two possibilities are I don't believe it's debris either. Because the debris would probably lay flat in the line. You know, when you turn on a gas jet, it sounds like a lot, but it's really low pressure.
It's not much pressure at all. You can hold it with your finger easily, I found.
So I doubt that a leaf or anything would get up and block an orifice or something like that. The thing I would wonder is if your gas company in general, I don't know where your location, if you're having a fluctuation in pressure. In the gas line, like that, I've seen that happen.
Or if you've got it, of course, this is debunked. If you had a crimped gas line, it would never work, would it?
You know, it wouldn't work. Well, some of it would. You might check your lines, like close to your stove, and I forgot the other thing that you said wasn't working good, and then the dryer is. It also, it might be wise if you would you could have a faulty valve.
That's what I was thinking. Probably some kind of an expansion valve that's not opening.
Or in that, you know, right there where you hook your stove to the wall,
valve, that valve
could be failing. Maybe it's not opening enough.
Yeah.
And that would might be something you'd want to get a licensed plumber or the gas company to check. I mean,
I'd just change it.
But the valve might be the first thing to look into.
Yeah, I believe
I might just change it. I mean, how much could it be? $5 to $4.95
right.
to change? I'd just change the valve that cuts off the and if there's any debris, that's probably where it's going to be. It would be have blown up
into that.
That I just change that valve. I mean, you're going to spend $10 or $15, and if that doesn't fix it, then call somebody.
Then call the gas company or plumber.
But I don't. I don't. I'm like you. I don't see how debris could get in it because there isn't much pressure. You would like what we were. This house I moved in Diboll one time, I wanted to change it. Let's see, there was a cap on a jet. There was they had capped off a thing, and I wanted to put a gas jet there so I could put a heater there. Uh-huh. And this friend of mine just unscrewed it, held his thumb over it, and then popped the jet on. And I thought, Jesus, you're fixing to blow us, because we're all smoking cigarettes. Scott, he said, oh, there's no pressure on these. And, of course, there really isn't. There isn't much pressure in that gas. It sounds loud, but there's not much there.
But
anyway, change the valve and let us know if that solved your problem, sir. Thank you for your email very much.
Okay, here's one that says, hi, I'm also blind. I have RP, and I would not recommend running wire under the metal strip at a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
I did this with my telephone extension wire, and over a long period of time, the cable actually wore right through. If it has to go under, I would suggest sticking it to the floor with duct tape to try and prevent wear. I'm from UK and listening on my PC. Good programs, all the best. Cliff Cummings.
Well, of course, if you're going to run it, the best thing to do might be run it over the door instead of. I mean, we were talking 7, 14, 15, 6, 17 feet. Phone wire's cheap.
I think we had talked on one show or something when I was talking about Norris running something under or something. But if you was going to have to run it under, boy, the thing to do, it seems like, would be to wrap it. Either tape or plastic or both or something.
They also make a cover, sort of like a little flat conduit, because a lot of places where they have to run wires out in the middle of a floor, they just have to, and it creates, of course, a little bump that you have to step over, but at least it keeps the damage. And if you were right up against your door sill,
you'd never notice it was there.
You would never notice
it was
there.
And it would protect the wire.
I'd be leery. The only thing about duct tape is it'll come loose, and eventually you'll get messed up with it. I would recommend against that.
Yeah, the jacket deal would be real good.
A little jacket deal. And under that door thing is hollow. I mean, it's just there's a space under there. If you ran the wire and you had to change it every 5 years, who cares?
Yeah, speaker wire is speaker wire.
Speaker wire is cheap. speaker wire is cheap. You might put some. What you might do is wrap the speaker wire that's going to go under the door threshold in duct tape, and then put it under
there.
That's
what I was thinking.
What do you think?
Our electrical tape or
electric
just
tape
anything?
Would be good.
Kind of
anyway, we didn't help him any, did we?
Probably not.
We'll hear from him again. What's this guy's name?
Cliff.
Oh, we've already lost his
name. Cliff Cummings.
From the UK.
From United Kingdom.
Man, thanks for listening to United Kingdom.
Isn't that good?
Obviously, you do a lot of things. Send us a phone number. We'll do. I wouldn't mind doing it like our first overseas guest. That'd be kind of cool.
Overseas phone call.
Hey, Cliff, don't leave town. You're up.
This may be the year. Huh?
Overseas guest. Could be.
Says, hi, I listened to your show the first time using the archive section at ACB Radio. Is there a way that
you can
summarize each show and place it as a description by the link it belongs to?
We're talking about that. We're
we need to do that,
don't we? Wait a minute. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We've solved that problem, Joe, haven't we?
I don't know that we have.
I think we have.
We need to work on that, don't we?
Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
She says, I would like to listen to more shows, but I have a 3-month-old daughter, and I don't have a lot of computer time.
Oh, man.
Or is there a fast computer keystroke which would let me preview or skip different
stuff? Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah, I think that'll solve your problem right there.
Yeah.
And she's getting ready to baby-proof her home, so any tips on installing baby safety devices, gates, cabinets, latches, et cetera, would be helpful. Thanks, Lisa. Lisa Brooks.
I just have a quick comment there on the latch. You know, you can buy the little thing that you put over the edge of the door that
goes to the top of the door, and it holds the door closed.
And it's like a little clip, and you just push it up with your thumb to open the door. That'd be easy, blind-friendly to put on.
Yeah, and little gates. If on any stairway, you'd want a little gate. They make them about 2.5 feet tall, maybe 30 inches, and you just put them on there with hinges. and where it would swing. But also, I'd think the most important thing with a young child would be maybe the child-proof wall plugs, where you have to actually turn the something to put in your cord, because
or you plug something into the socket, a plastic thing, to keep them from being able to.
They make those little plastic cover that goes on the plug that will keep you from. Man, I remember we were talking the other day when in 88, I had the studio in the, where you have your computer show.
Yeah.
And my son, with his one-year-old daughter and his one-month-old child, decided to move back to Lufkin.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they had to stay with Dad till they found it. Man, it scared me, because I just knew Kimberly was going to get in there and tear up the everything. She didn't. We child-proofed it pretty good, but... Little gates. Those little gates are easy to install.
They are.
I mean, they're simple to install, and those little flip latches that you flip with your thumb, two little screws would be all. Man, I bought a neat new screwdriver. Remind me to show it to you before you leave.
Yeah, we should demonstrate that over the air, shouldn't we?
I bought a new ratchet screwdriver, and it has all the blades in the handle.
Really?
Yeah, it's neat. Really, you'll see one at Abney's next time you're down there.
Yeah.
Has them on display with that free candy.
She would need one of those for putting in that baby gate, huh?
She would need one of those, and those baby gates, they're easy. You don't have to read the instructions or anything. They're easy enough to install. So call us and let us know how you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, guys. Great show, the Blind Handyman series. I have found your archive program on ACB Radio and enjoy listening to programs. I have a couple of requests. It would be very helpful if your archive gave a program content, such as other ACB programs.
Is this the same email?
It sounds like the same
repeat.
Email,
huh?
I think I also heard you give an address to sign up for announcements of upcoming show content. Could you send me this address?
I missed that.
Yeah, he must be on somebody else's archive.
Finally, on program number 8, you mentioned a talking tape measure. Where might I find some information on this product?
Man, we're going to have to do something.
Talking tape measure.
No, they're in lots of blind. We're going to have to do something about this. We got to eventually. But they're in most of the blind catalogs now have. I'm not going to recommend any names because, anyway, most of the blind catalogs have this tape measure in them.
And he said, thanks for any information and keep up the good work. This is from Jim Elsner up in Indiana, by the way.
All right.
Jim Elsner.
Speaking of Indiana.
Yes.
Have you heard that song that's on the radio? Let's see. This guy has it. Who's your buddy? Who's your baby? Who's your lover? Who's your man? Have you heard that country song?
No.
I thought it was about Indiana. It kept coming up. Who's your buddy? Who's your who's your baby? Who's your? I thought it was a song about Indiana.
I guess not.
That's all I thought of.
Well,
you tried that earlier.
One little comment we could make about him. Could we list what's going to be on the future shows? We can't even seem to get what was on the past shows.
We decide what's going to be on today's show about 15 minutes ago.
That's right.
What are we going to talk about today? I don't know. It's a bit.
We never know ahead of time.
We never know. Man. We don't have any idea.
We don't have a clue.
We didn't finish the email, did we?
No, we didn't.
Not yet.
Well, maybe we can do it on the other side.
We can do it on the other side. Well, Dave McElroy is going to be our guest. He's from California, and you'll recognize Dave the minute we get old Dave on the air. We'll have him on in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman back in just a minute.
Not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the air.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from the
ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
From Lake
latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com. As well as
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove.
You can hear
live, unpredictable internet radio on ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least six time zones on three continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive. You are ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. This is the Blind Handyman. We invite your correspondence at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. To be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, with more of the Blind Handyman, here's Tom Houston.
Well, we don't do that very often.
Yeah, no, you thought you'd come to you just...
Well, we really had a couple of emails left.
Yeah.
We did, and besides that, Dave is not home.
Yeah, Dave, if you're listening.
What a deal.
Get a grip, Dave.
What yeah, Dave, a if you're deal. Listening.
He said he had a doctor's appointment. He probably passed out at the doctor's office or something.
Uh-huh.
Took his blood pressure and admitted him to Cedars of Sinai to generally Anyway, we did have a couple more emails that we could stumble through, I guess.
Okay, it says, hi again, Handyman Gang. Kevin Doucet back at you.
Yay, right. Kevin, how are you, boy?
Yeah, is this the guy from Prattville?
This is the guy from Prattville.
Alabama.
Alabama, yes.
Sent us the neat little MP3 that we played. We'd like to have more of those from somebody.
Mr. Oven Man.
Yeah, Oven Man.
Yes,
we'll
sir,
start
right
up with a guess. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, he says, first let me say, keep up the great work you do with your show. Every time I hear a show you do, I come away a wiser guy, and let me tell you, that is quite some feat.
For a guy that knows everything.
As I have always been known as a wise guy. I don't know if this is a subject for the show, but you might be able to help. I'm needing to construct some shelving for my recording studio.
Yeah.
For reasons which would take longer to explain in the written word than I care to indulge in, I need shelving with the ends open, which is to say, no end supports.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, from the piano tuning days, I remember a term pertaining to sounding board construction, which exactly explains the sort of technology I'm thinking about.
Okay.
The term is cantilevered, is that right?
Cantilevered. Mm-hmm.
Cantilevered, okay.
Cantilevered.
This means that support is on the back edge only, leaving the sides and obviously front unencumbered.
Uh-huh.
Okay, another situation in which I've seen this sort of construction is in refrigerator shelving, wherein vertical tracks are affixed to the rear of the refrigerator and inset from the sidewalls a couple of inches.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the shelf hangs from these racks. Any of you know of which I speak?
Yes, we have that.
I do know.
I see several hands go up.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
The shelves, at least, as I'm thinking of them, would be of wood construct, whereas the vertical tracks would be made of sort of a metal, and the brackets would affix to the shelf and hang from the tracks. Thanks for any help you can offer. And this is Kevin Doucet.
Well, that's simple enough to do. You go to the hardware store and you buy. But I'll tell you this. If you're going to do this, you better make sure that you hit a stud when you put this track up.
Yeah, that's no lie.
Because if you don't, you're going to rip the sheetrock out if you put much weight on those shelves, even if you put molly bolts up or fasteners or whatever there.
You're going to have to find something.
Yeah, and there's several ways. Also, unless you're just really wanting some high-dollar, fancy, hand-sanded and varnished and stained shelves, you can go to Lowe's or a Home Depot, whatever, not to mention any names in
that's
particular,
right.
And buy shelving material of all lengths and all sizes and all colors, metal. And if you're going to do a self-supporting shelf, you may want to consider metal. Also, I don't know about the track. I'm not sure exactly how. I know what cantilever means in bridge building, but not so much in shelves. But they make a flat shelf bracket that is just like the letter L.
Yep.
And it doesn't have an angle. It doesn't have the third arm going between the across the angle. It doesn't complete. And so if you put that on a wall, on a stud, or with molly bolts, and then the underneath part of the bracket is what you attach your shelf, there is nothing on the ends or underneath.
Unless you want to move these, that's probably the easiest easiest way to do it, unless you think you might want some at different...
Adjustable shelves.
If you want them adjustable, and they make tracks.
They do.
I think I may have a pair.
Will they go vertically? And
And then you can just move the shelves. Yeah. You could put the shelves
that's
at any,
what I'm thinking of.
Any level you want. You could probably put six shelves, but you'd have... What you'd end up... You'd have the things... you'd have the tracks, and you'd have the things that go into tracks. Then you'd have to lay the shelf up there and then screw it to the things that hold the shelf, right?
Or either...
Measure awful carefully.
Yeah. And, well, your studs are going to be on the inside wall, really, probably 24-inch centers.
No, 16s.
On an inside wall,
16s.
Probably. Well, maybe.
I'd knock around.
But if they are on 16s or 24, either way, you'd have, most shelving's going to come 4 feet, 6 feet. I guess you could buy 2-foot shelving. I don't know how long you wanted these. But and if you caught your tracks, say if you used a 6-foot shelf and you had your tracks at 4 foot, and that would leave a foot on either side.
You'd be in good shape.
You'd be in excellent
shape. You'd be in excellent shape. Even if you did 32 inches and you left... whatever on each side, what would that be? 32 from 48? Put in your 7, carry your 7, carry your 4, and carry your 3, and that's.
Get out of town. Alt.
Be about 60. Alt. Yes, cipher. Boy, I can always cipher now.
Alt.
Anyway, it'd be about 16 inches. You'd have 8 inches on each.
But anyway, is this Kevin? Yeah,
this is Kevin.
Don't send us these hard things. Well, we can't handle
it. Oh, this is easy enough to do. Kevin, you can do this. Go to Lowe's or Home Depot or the other one. What's the other one?
Home Depot, Lowe's. Let's see. Carry your 7.
put on your 4. But here's the thing. This is easy doable. Put these up. But just make sure you'd sure want to get them straight.
Straight and solid, man.
And I guess the easiest way to get those tracks straight for
you would put one up, and then you'd have to have a tube cut you a jig with
the
2x4.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about putting up the tracks that go on the wall. Mm-hmm. You got the top end. If you put the top end screw in the top end, the track is going to hang straight theoretically, wouldn't it?
You would think
if it can move at all.
If it can move.
Don't put it in too tight.
Let it plumb itself.
I'd let it plumb itself, but I sure would measure. If you don't have a talking measuring tape, if you don't have anything, if you put them up, measure the distance apart at the top and then measure at the bottom and make sure that you get them straight, because if you don't, you won't be able to move the shelves. I mean, they won't.
Well, let's say if he got the first one on and was solid and it was plumb, and then cut him a jig to go over to the other one and put it at the top and nail the
Yeah, it'd
the
have
new
to
top,
be the same.
It'd
have to
be.
And do the same at the bottom. That's exactly right.
Because you could cut a jig, you could cut it out of anything. You could cut it out of anything that was the right length. This is a doable deal. Shell, or, you know, like we were talking about, if you don't want to move them, shelf brackets, you've seen these shelf brackets. They mount to the wall and they come up and stick out.
Now, it's been so long since we did the shelves in your storeroom, and I haven't seen them in a while, but do we use brackets on those shelves or
ran wood around the wall, remember? We ran wood around it.
That's right. And we nailed it.
Put
drywall screws down.
Because remember, we nailed through.
Yeah.
We nailed through.
Free online?
No. I mean, what are the chances of this happening? The guy had put the alarm system in, and Shaw and I nailed through the...
Perfect, boy.
I mean, you know, it couldn't happen to two nights.
And then the cops were out here with their drone.
We called the guys. The alarm system won't work. And so he came out. Oh, you got some. What you done is you ran and nailed through the thing here. And he shorted out the alarm system. And you know, I mean, what are the chances of us doing that?
Not very
likely. Stumbling along with our little nail gun.
Being blind had anything to
do
with it.
Had nothing to do with it. Just fooling around, but with his nail. The nail gun was kind of new then.
Y'all have been deadly with that nail gun. Finger here and there.
Shaw hadn't shot himself. He hadn't shot himself yet with the nail gun when this happened. The nail gun was new. The compressor was kind of new. And we were enthused with the nail gun, so we were popping nails. I bet that shelf over the left workbench has got 50 nails.
I bet you it does, too.
It does, man. We were solid hammering down.
Yeah, that was something. Shelf building 101, man.
The shelf building 101. Well, we ran a band around it. Well, you could do that. You could put something on the wall, and you could cut you some little angle braces and put up
you
under.
Could.
Just depending on how pretty you want it to look. That's the whole deal. If Mama wants it pretty, you better go to Lowe's and buy some sure enough 4-foot shelving material with mitered ends and
rounded
corners and all that. And you better do it.
Right.
That's right, Kevin. Well, come to your home.
Well, make us an MP3 of this project.
Yeah, do us something. That's a good question, though. Very good. Go ahead, Tommy.
All right, moving right along here. Says, hey, guys, I catch your show on the archives when I can, as I'm usually pretty busy when it airs live. Glad to see the archives list beyond show 15 now.
Me too.
I sent an original email a while back, but didn't see it come up. So thought to send another, even though you're on break, since you enjoy, or is it beg for email? Just kidding.
Pretty much both.
I think he hit the nail right on
the
head.
He did.
I think he's got his
handyman shows. He's Tom slipping into those handyman expressions. I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
Just kidding. There's no need for that, as your show is a highly professional, laid-back show that is both entertaining and, as so many have said, informative.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I thought the same thing when someone compared your show to Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers on Car Talk.
Tappet.
So when is the Puzzler coming? Or Stump the Trump?
I see his point. Y'all don't listen to Car Talk, do you? I listen every week. I'm a Car Talk fan. I listen to them every week. They do the Puzzler, and I've thought about that. I can't give you an example of one. But it's like the guys who paid $30 for the hotel room and they were due $3 change and they brought them $3 change, so they each paid $9 a piece. So where'd the other dollar go? It's that kind of stuff. And it's just weird puzzles. We're not going to do that.
I think we're puzzled enough.
We're probably puzzled
enough.
Okay, he says, I enjoy your show and have done a fair bit of handiwork myself, from designing and building a snack bar.
Yeah.
Installing dishwashers, windows, fences, pool, rewiring house, designing wood products, to skinning off grass and a foot or so of dirt in preparation for an above-ground pool.
You're a good guy.
With a bobcat.
What's a bobcat?
Undoubtedly, it's some piece of equipment that he uses to get the grass in the ground.
Well, how come we don't have one?
I wonder if it's kind of a ditch witch.
Phil will own one next week. Phil will have two of them. He gets two of everything.
I buy two of everything.
If Abney's has them, he'll have it delivered.
Probably will.
Today.
Probably bring it during the show.
He says, I wonder what my neighbors thought, plus those ton of forgotten projects required in just fixing and doing anything that comes up needing to be fixed, like doors, yeah. locks, faucets, and those famous commode fix-ups you ran for a while.
Yeah,
we did.
I mean, we got on those. Yeah.
Formerly in the roofing trade, I learned to be inventive at times. Now, a vending operator, I utilize handyman techniques for repairing those machines, such as valve rebuilding, chip replacements, and God knows what else.
Formerly, what did he say?
And God knows what else.
The roof building business.
Formerly in the roof. Is this guy a total?
That's what he said.
Well, does he say what's his level of sight?
He doesn't say. He doesn't say.
No, I don't know that.
But we've heard from this guy. We've heard from this fellow before, but I don't remember if he's a total or not.
But that's what we need is the blind roofer. Now, that'd be something.
Yeah, that'd be a good show to do.
Would be.
Blind roofing.
Anyway, go ahead.
He wants to add a tip to your show on dryers and vent cleaning. He said, I once found the clothes not to dry as well and checked the vent, of course, as well as duct inside the dryer and just inside the flex tube where the dryer vents into the wall. However, in the northern climate, where basements abide, unlike the south, which usually have the dryer on an outside wall, we frequently have them located in the center of the house with a long flex tube or round ductwork piped to an outside wall.
Yeah.
Now, when my dryer did not dry properly, I went outside, took my trusty shop vac, and ran it from the outside of the house into the flex tubing to the dryer, and found because the flex tube is flexible that it had several bedded sections which filled up with nasty wet lint and blocked off the vent until I removed it. I needed to access it from the outside as the exhaust hose was in the floor joist, covered by the basement ceiling. Perhaps this will help some listeners in case they come across this and will save them a service call, as it is a very simple and blind-friendly problem to correct, not to mention a perfectly legitimate excuse or opportunity to purchase a shop vac. With the money one would have spent on the service call.
You got it.
Incidentally, I just moved in August from Lumberton, Texas, which is outside of Beaumont.
All right.
That's not far from here.
It's not.
And he moved back up to Wisconsin, where he's originally from. We purchased a new home that has a roofed-in basement ready for a finishing-off project. If I get the funds to get it going before y'all are old and gray, well, maybe I better rephrase that.
I think we already lost.
As I fear that has already taken place. Just kidding. I don't believe in getting old, and one is as young as one wishes to feel. But if I am able to secure the funds before the second coming, I can share any pertinent experiences.
You're just as young as who you feel.
Finishing it off.
I thought that was a
joke. So, Phil, my man, this is addressed to you personally here, Phil.
Phil, my man.
When are you going to hear a bit of your CD you talk about for the buffer music?
Wow.
Or is that you playing then?
No.
Okay.
You know what we could do? We could use some of Randy's stuff for bumper music.
We will.
Be on to an idea there.
Anyway, this fellow also sings. He plays guitar, so enjoy creating there when I can, although that admittedly is much less often than I'd like.
Yeah.
Blessings. This is from Brad Dunce.
Well, right, I'll say this, if you're going to be blind, you better be able to play something.
That's right.
Push latch and see if Dave's there.
Push latch and see if Dave's there. Yeah, okay.
Push latch it and pull 17 up.
No, Dave's not there.
Right. What happened to Dave?
Dave.
I thought
we're getting the old dial tone, aren't we? All right.
I thought you said you'd call him back.
He called me. Let me call him back. Is that all the email?
That's it.
Good email, by the way, there, Brad.
But yes, Brad, thank you.
What happened to the guy that was going to archive the show, Shaw?
Oh, we've got it. We've still got him.
We just haven't read that.
Go ahead, Shaw.
No, we'll talk about that.
Okay, bye. We'll be back in just a minute.
And Brad sounds like a good possible guest.
Oh, he does.
Send us a phone number, Brad.
We've got a phone number.
risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program? Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio. Hang out with other ACB radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB radio. It's all possible through the ACB radio friends list.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB radio.
Are you looking for a place you can talk about ACB radio programming with friends and other listeners? Then you might want to join our ACB radio friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB radio announce list. And you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
Is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
We are back.
Give you some kind of idea what kind of a crowd you have here.
Yeah. We are back, and we have Dave McElroy with us here today for the last segment of the show. How are you doing today, Dave?
Oh, pretty good. A little harried, though. I was planning on being home before this, and what can I say?
Dave, what did the doctor say? How bad is it, Dave?
How bad is it? Well,
yes. Are you going to live?
I will live, but I have to have hernia surgery tomorrow. I guess I was lifting Pam too much or something.
Are you kidding? You're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
You have to have hernia surgery tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Well, we better let you go. Listen, Dave, nice talking to you.
Oh, go away.
How's he going to get surgery on Friday? Our doctors here only work 4 days a week.
That's right. You have doctors in California that work on Friday?
I guess they do.
That's wild. Anyway, it's good to know.
I had to go through all that stuff, the pre-stuff today. But you want to know about house buying.
We were going to talk a little bit about house buying, about buying new houses.
Well, I'm fixing to put my house on the market. We've talked about it for 21 shows about me completing. I'm putting a sign on it Sunday. Tell me what the people are going to look for when they come to see my house.
Well, the first thing they're going to look for is what you call curb appeal. And that is to say, are they going to drive down the street? And we're talking mainly about sighted people. Well, this is good for blind people to know, too. And, you know, are they going to look at a house and say, gee whiz, that looks like something it's been a fixer-upper, but it looks like it still needs fixing up. Or are they going to look at that yard and look at what goes into the house and say, wow, I want to live there. You know, it's the grass. Well, of course, it's not a good time for grass, but I mean, does the yard look, you know, fairly neat? Does it look, in fact, fairly neat is okay, but really neat is the best one you're trying to sell. And, you know, is the paint fresh, you know? Just how does it look? Just the general look. That's the first thing they're going to walk. They're going to walk, you know, go down the street, and they're going to want to see a good looking house that they can move right into. And that's what I was certainly looking for. Now, when I was buying a house as a blind person, one of the things that I did, the realtor was a very nice lady, and she was educated, but she didn't know a lot about the houses. She didn't know, for example, I said, well, how many roofs are new in the neighborhood? she didn't know how to tell her roof, what a new roof was, so I'd tell her, you know,
she didn't
describe the composition roof that's fairly much the order of the day in this area.
Sure.
That kind of thing. And then she kind of said, oh, yeah, well, now I know what I'm looking for. And she told me there's about half of them needed replaced, which, and half of them were replaced, which I had guessed, so that was not a surprise. But
yeah.
You also need to know, you know, what it's selling around you, you know, and maybe take a look at that, you know, see what they're doing.
What they're going for.
What comparables, I think.
Right, comps, they call them.
It's a big real estate word, Pat, right?
Yep. Comps.
And when a house gets to be a certain age, or a community, a subdivision is a certain age, you can pretty well bet, you know, that maybe it's time for roofs or new hot water heaters,
right,
or things need to be replaced.
Like this house, it was built in 1975. We went in knowing that, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, it's going to need a roof. It's going to need that kind of maintenance.
Uh-huh.
And the price actually probably to some degree reflects that.
Yeah.
Well, my house, the one that I'm selling now, was built in 1969. Mm-hmm. I bought it 6 years ago.
And you've been all through it.
Right, and I bought it at a fairly decent price. The lady kind of really needed to get out, and I've spent a lot of money. I doubt that, you know, I don't think I'm going to make any money, but I may wind up with 6 years of pretty cheap rent. Mm-hmm. When I sell it, but I have I agree with a lot what you're saying. Find out what's going on around you in the yard especially, and I'll tell you what, really, like edging the yard, even though
edging is real important.
Yeah, it's really important. And the leaves, you know, right now we've got all the leaves laying, so
yeah.
And see, blind people don't think about edging. That's just some blind folks don't much. We don't pay much attention to that.
Well, I've always thought that if you can. You know, a lot of blind people think that the only thing they can do is buy a condo so they don't have to worry about the yard maintenance or what have you.
Yeah.
I have found that owning a single-family home is not a problem because all you do, you go out and hire a yard guy, and that's your condo fees, you know.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And I fortunately have a good one, so I don't have to worry too much. And I don't mind getting my hands dirty once in a while, too, although in the next couple of weeks I think it's going to be a little rough for me, but... But barring that, you know, it's something you just do.
Well, I'm a good partial, and I mow my yard, you know, most of the time. I don't have a yard, but on this project, right when the lady plants her sign, I have a professional yard guy coming to do just that one thing.
Well,
just
sure.
Fix it
especially,
up for this one
good.
Purpose.
Yeah.
And, especially since you may not be living in the house right now, you know, you don't want to have to worry about going over and mowing it, too.
Well, I'm there, but just barely.
Yeah.
I tell them I could be out of there before they could say escrow.
Escrow
right.
account.
Escrow.
Listen, we talked on the cruise a little bit about this door that you're having a problem with, and I told you to get some toothpicks and fill up the screw holes and put the screws back in. Did you do that?
No, because I haven't. I've been down on the other thing, so I haven't done that yet.
I figured that was the reason for your hernia, was lifting this heavy door.
I'm going to get a friend of mine to help me with that. It is heavy, though. It's a solid door.
Sure, it's a big old. That's what she told me. It's a solid core door.
And
you've
got
heavy
some stripped
thing.
Out screws?
Yeah. Okay. I told him, put some toothpicks in the holes, fill the holes up with toothpicks, or get some bigger, larger screws.
Yeah, the toothpicks is not a bad idea, but I'll tell you what, before I did that with the toothpicks, I'd fill it up with liquid nail.
Mm-hmm.
Liquid nail will set up like concrete, but you can sand it even after it's set up, and I'll guarantee you screw into it, and it's just like new wood.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
We've discussed this before, but I've never seen. I'm going to have to buy some. Do you have some?
I have some.
Well, bring it over, and we'll look at it. I'll let you use it with my, along with my, what's the deal I'm going to buy? The tiller deal?
Bobcat?
Bobcat.
You're going to buy a Bobcat? Oh, I could just see that now.
What does a Bobcat look like? Maybe
you know what a Bobcat is?
It's a rototiller thing, isn't it? Bulldozer kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, we had an email from this guy who said he used one. Cleared off some area. So if he can do it, I can. You know how I am.
But the house might be in the way, Phil. You know, you have
I'm the only Democrat left in Texas. It's pretty serious.
How do you survive as a Democrat in Texas? That ought to be a whole show in and of itself.
We'll talk about that on Blind Line sometime. It's pretty tough to survive as a Democrat in Texas. I can tell you a story about my brother-in-law, but I won't. He's a Democrat, too, but he's not a judge.
But basically, what you want to do, if you're going to buy a house as a blind person, I think the best thing I can say in summing this up is you want to be aware. You want to be aware of what's around you, and if you don't know, ask. You know, and it really helps too if you know your city or your town.
Yes.
If you know where the good neighborhoods are and where the crummy ones are, and all that. That helps too. You can price yourself.
Because you don't want to buy you might buy a house overpriced in a bad neighborhood. You wouldn't know that if you didn't ask the right questions.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I would also check. I mean, this is just one observation that I have that I know I will do differently the next time I buy as opposed to what I did this time. And I would make darn sure that the home owners are living in the homes and there's not a lot of rent property.
That's one of the other keys. How many homeowners versus renters?
Yeah. You know, nothing against renters. I've rented. We've all rented once or twice or several times in our lives. But I'm telling you, that does more to the degradation to me of a neighborhood. When you have 50% of the homes is rent property.
Of course, when you moved over there, when you bought this house you're living in, Shaw was living next to you, and then he promptly moved.
That's right.
That ought to tell you something.
Yeah, that ought to tell you something.
Tells a story, doesn't it?
He moved. He bought my house, and I moved over here. So that just kind of lets you know.
I keep meaning to drop by Lufkin, Texas, and take a look at your place there on Southwood Drive, because it sounds like a fun place to be.
It is a great place to be. We are sitting here in our beautiful studio, which is...
I thought it was your turn to get the Heineken, by the way. I thought that's where you'd gone.
The Heineken. No, I had gone to the room between us and Heineken.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Dave, you do need to come down, and you and Pam are welcome anytime. Are you going on the cruise in the spring or not?
No, the spring. You mean that one to get to New England?
Yeah, I'm not. No, I'm going to have to pass.
No, well, we're going to pass for a couple of reasons. But one is you can drive from New York to Bar Harbor in like 6 hours if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And I just don't see spending all that money to get on a boat to go, you know, a cruise ship to go place where you could drive in less than a half a day.
Well, it had nothing to do with Sue or anything, did it? There's nothing.
Oh.
Dave wasn't a real happy camper with the ACB. He wasn't real pleased with the way they did things.
Well, let me put it, and this just goes back to philosophy. And my philosophy is that as an independent blind traveler, you don't need all of the stuff that she was trying. It was just, I don't know. We could discuss that on Blind Line at some future level.
That would be probably, you told them that they had sold you a cruise. You told them that I'm an independent traveler and I don't need your meetings and I'm leaving.
That's exactly what I told them.
Basically. Dave. Dave, you're being a nonconformist. You own a house there in California. We're getting completely off the subject.
Yes,
Visalia,
California, in the central part of the state.
Is this your first house?
Actually, it's my 1-2-3rd.
It's your third house.
Yeah.
So you've learned from some mistakes.
Oh, definitely.
From some things you've done. Did you buy a house?
Let me tell you about my first house.
Okay.
And I'll tell you about mistakes.
Let's do that.
Okay. I was like in my 20s, and all I know is we wanted to buy a house. Well, and sure enough, there was one for, you know, really not much money.
This is Dave and first wife.
Dave and the first one, and my and my now ex-wife, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought this place, and it turned. I didn't even bother to measure the square footage. It was tiny. It was like 900 square feet. It had problems you wouldn't believe, not the least of which was that in the bathroom. Well, first of all, it was such a weird old house. The bathroom didn't even have a shower. We had a shower out in the garage. That's another story. But but in the bathroom, in the one bathroom in this little house had no shower. The whoever had put the tiles down on the floor had put them down, but hadn't bothered to use, you know, something like, tar, glue, and something with which the tile should adhere to the floor. So they were all just sort of laying there. It was terrible.
No kidding.
It was terrible. We got rid of the house 2 or 3 years later. Fortunately, again, my realtor kind of took pity on me. We went and did some stuff, and finally somebody bought the house, and you know, we got into a better one. But
if you think people won't take advantage of you because you're blind, you're wrong. Because they will.
Dead wrong.
They absolutely
the
will.
The neighborhood, everything was wrong. I didn't ask questions, and that was stupid. And I didn't ask the right questions, and that was even more stupid. And
the address 9818 Sheaves will always stick in my mind. We gave the house to my brother-in-law, and it was just we needed out and bought another house.
Out.
It was just I had a bad experience with a house also that I didn't look at it, but it wasn't. Ended up putting central air in it. Ended up replacing the heater, ended up putting a roof on it. So I had basically the same
kind of
deal. We did have a shower, though. I mean, we did.
Well, this place,
I checked that.
This we're living in now, like the central air was old. We did replace it, but again, we knew that going in. The roof has not yet been done, doesn't need it, but I'm still sitting here saying, 3 to 5 years down the road, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Did you cover asking how many?
The rest of the house is in good enough condition that it's worth doing that. It's worth keeping it up.
Did you cover how many roofs are on the house? Did you talk about that?
Only I'm sure it's only one. It's just
because you don't want to get a guy who's put a roof on a roof, then you eventually have got to tear both.
You got to tell them.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
No, this is only it's a shake roof, and I'm pretty sure there's only one up there. Cause, again, just by the age of the house,
you better go see.
That's right.
And we got a roof certification. That's important, too.
It is very important.
And what that basically means is if something goes wrong up on the roof, the certifier has to come and fix it. And we've had to have him out a couple of times.
If he said it was okay, then he has to come fix it.
Yeah.
Listen, we're out of time.
Okay.
Are you really having surgery tomorrow?
I most assuredly am.
Well, good luck, sir. I'll call you in a day or two and see how you are.
Please do.
Will you? Love you. Thank you for participating in the show, and I'll visit with you in a day or two, Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Is he gone?
Dave? Hello, Dave.
He's quick.
Hi, Dave.
Dave, let us shut.
All right. Well, Dave, anyway.
Listen, we have the archive. We have the problem solved of shows, of labeling the shows and how to get to places on the shows. Don Shaw has that problem solved. We're going to chat to you about that on the next Blind Handyman. Is that right, Shaw?
We certainly will, in fact.
We about got that. We found a guy who's kind of done this for us, who's done our own work for us, bless his old heart. And we're going to tell you, we'll talk to him maybe on the next show, and we'll tell you, but we'll have the shows all fixed up. Anyway, thanks much. We appreciate it. Very good show. Enjoyed it very much.
Yeah,
tune in again. We may tell you how to fix something.
We may actually give you some advice. Email address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. MSN, what is it, Sean?
Hotmail.com. That's right. Blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Email us. Come be a guest on the show. We'd love to have you. I'm Click, you're Clack, and we're the Tappet Brothers. No, we're Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston. Thank you all very much.
Yes,
I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you next week on the More of the Blind Handyman. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As he said, the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.